23 through 24. And this chapter is entitled The Subterranean Heavenly Planets. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Nanam Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam. Tato Jaya Mudiraya. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, one should first offer respectful obeisances under the personality of Godhead Narayan, under Nar Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and Srila Prabhupada, translator, commentator, and our dearmost spiritual master. Nasta Prayasu Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. By regular attendance in classes in Srimad Bhagavatam and by running of service to the pure devotee, all that is inauspicious to the heart is almost completely destroyed to nil. And thus, transcendental loving service under the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. So, text 23. Yattad bhagavatana digatan yopayena yachna chalena pahrita shva sharirava sheshita lokatrayo varuna pashaischa sampratimukto giridaryam Chabavidya iti hovacha. Translation. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead could see no other means of taking everything away from Bali Maharaj, he adopted the trick of begging from him and took away all the three worlds. Thus, only his body was left, but the Lord was still not satisfied. He arrested Bali Maharaj, bound him with the ropes of Varuna, and threw him in a cave in a mountain. Nevertheless, although all his property was taken and he was thrown into a cave, Bali Maharaj was such a great devotee that he spoke as follows. This is also in prose, and so we're not going to attempt to have you repeat it. I'll just stumble through the Sanskrit and we'll read the word for word. Nunam batayam bhagavan arteshu na nishnato so asavindro yasya sachivo mantraya vritta ikantato brihaspatistam adihaya svayam upendrenatmanam ayachatatmanascha shisho noeva tadashyamati gambiravayasa Kalasya manvantara parivrittam kiya lokatrayam idam. Word for word. Nunam. Certainly. Bata. Alas. Ayam. This. Bhagavan. Very learned. Arteshu. In self-interest. Na. Not. Nishnata, very experienced. Yahu, Ashau, the King of Heaven, Indra, Indra, Yasya, of whom, Sachiva, the Prime Minister, Mantraya, for giving instructions, Vritta, chosen, Ekantata, alone, Brihaspati, named Brihaspati, Tam, him, Atihaya, ignoring, Swayam, personally, Upendrena, by means of Upendra, Lord Vamanadev, Atmanam, myself, Ayachata, requested, Atmana, for himself, Cha, and Ashishaha, blessings, the three worlds. No, not, Eva, certainly, Tat Dasyam, the loving service of the Lord, Ati, very, Gambira Vayasa, having an insurmountable duration, Kalasya, of time, Manvantara, Parivritam, changed by the end of a life of a Manu. Kiyat, what is the value of? Lokatrayam, three worlds. Idam, these. Translation. Alas, how pitiable it is for Indra, the King of Heaven, that although he is very learned and powerful, and although he chose Brihaspati as his prime minister to instruct him, he is completely ignorant concerning spiritual advancement. Brihaspati is also unintelligent because he did not properly instruct his disciple Indra. Lord Vamanadeva was standing at Indra's door, but King Indra, instead of begging him for an opportunity to render transcendental loving service, engaged him in asking me for alms to gain the three worlds for his sense gratification. Sovereignty over the three worlds is very insignificant, because whatever material opulence one may possess lasts only for an age of Manu, which is but a tiny fraction of endless time. Can repeat, please. Alas, how pitiable it is for Indra, the King of Heaven, that although he is very learned and powerful, and although he chose Brihaspati as his prime minister to instruct him, he is completely ignorant concerning spiritual advancement. Brihaspati is also unintelligent because he did not properly instruct his disciple Indra. Lord Vamanadeva was standing at Indra's door, but King Indra, instead of begging him for an opportunity to render transcendental loving service, engaged him in asking me for alms to gain the three worlds for his sense gratification. Sovereignty over the three worlds is very insignificant, because whatever material opulence one may possess lasts only for an age of Manu, which is but a tiny fraction of endless time. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivananda Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Bali Maharaj was so powerful that he fought with Indra and took possession of the three worlds. Indra was certainly very advanced in knowledge, but instead of asking Vamanadeva for engagement in his service, he used the Lord to beg for material possessions that would be finished at the end of one age of Manu. An age of Manu, which is the duration of Manu's life, is calculated to last 72 yugas. One yuga consists of 4,300,000 years, and therefore the duration of Manu's life is 309,600,000 years. The demigods possess their material opulence only until the end of the life of Manu. Time is insurmountable. The time one is allotted, even if it be millions of years, is quickly gone. I'll repeat that. The time one is allotted, even if it be millions of years, is quickly gone. The demigods own their material possessions only within the limits of time. Therefore, Bali Maharaj lamented that although Indra was very learned, he did not know how to use his intelligence properly. For instead of asking Vamanadeva to allow him to engage in his service, Indra used him to beg Bali Maharaj for material wealth. Although Indra was learned, and his prime minister, Brihaspati, was also learned, neither of them begged to be able to render loving service to Lord Vamanadeva. Therefore, Bali Maharaj lamented for Indra. Translation again. Alas, this is Bali Maharaj speaking. Alas, how pitiable it is for Indra, the king of heaven, that although he is very learned and powerful, and although he chose Brihaspati as his prime minister to instruct him, he is completely ignorant concerning spiritual advancement. Brihaspati is also unintelligent because he did not properly instruct his disciple Indra. Lord Vamanadeva was standing at Indra's door, but King Indra, instead of begging him for an opportunity to render transcendental loving service, engaged him in asking me for alms to gain the three worlds for his sense gratification. Sovereignty over the three worlds is very insignificant because whatever material opulence one may possess lasts only for an age of Manu, which is but a tiny fraction of endless time. Jai Shri Shri Krishna Balaram Ki Jai, Shri Shri Radha Shyama Sundara Lalita Vishakha Ki Jai, Shri Shri Gaur Nithaya Ki Jai. Ma jnana tamanandasya inanjana salakaya chakshurum militam jena tasmai shi guruve namaha shi chetana manobhisham shtabitam yena bhutale swayam rupagadamayam tadati svapadandikam andeham shi guru shi uttaparakamalam shi gurun vaishnavamscha shi rupam sagajatam sagana ragunatanvitam tam sajivam sadvaitam savrutam purijana saitam krishna chaitanya devam shirara krishna padam sagana lalita shivishakanvitam scha e krishna kurune sindo dinabandu jagapate kubesha gopika kanda rara kanda namostute tapta kanchana gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Shivanu Suttadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Panchakopaturubhyascha Kripasindubhyevacha Uditanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adwaita Gadadha Shri Vashri Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. I was born in the darkest of ignorance. My spiritual master is Divine Grace Srila Bhaktivedanta Srila Prabhupada. has opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. Therefore, I offer my most humble obeisance and is his lotus feet. How can I ever forget his mercy upon me? So this chapter is the subterranean heavenly planets. And this is the high point of this chapter. Hearing about the determination of Bali Maharaj, who is our Mahajan for the process of surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Indeed, Krishna is always approaching us. His ultimate instruction in the Bhagavad Gita is Sarva Dharmam Prijaja Mame Kam Saranam Vraja Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo Mokshay Shami Masucha. He's saying, just surrender to me and I will protect you. Do not fear. But we have so many attachments in this world that the process of surrendering everything to Krishna, although ostensibly is simple, it's very difficult. And as illustrated in this verse, those who are advanced in material advancement, it's even more difficult for them to surrender to the Lord. Although that is what's in our highest benefit. So often we can't recognize the Lord and how he's constantly coming to us to give us his mercy, because we have deep desires for material enjoyment that have been with us since time immemorial. So this is this pastime of Bali Maharaj is so wonderful. Of course, he's born in the family of Prahlad Maharaj, so he is incredibly exalted. And his process of conquering the entire three worlds and then surrendering everything spontaneously to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is incredibly instructive. And because this is so powerful, this whole pastime, so powerfully instructive, I thought we'd hear more from Srila Prabhupada. About this pastime from Srimad Bhagavatam. This is from the 8th canto, chapter 21, verse 29. This is Shukadeva Goswami speaking to Maharaj Parikshit. O King, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vamanadeva, then spoke to Bali Maharaj, the most liberal and celebrated personality whom he had arrested with the ropes of Aruna. We read that in the previous verses, how Krishna had ordered Garudatin to arrest Bali Maharaj with the ropes of Aruna and then threw him in a cave. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vamanadeva, then spoke to Bali Maharaj, the most liberated excuse me, the most liberal and celebrated personality, whom he had arrested with the ropes of Varuna. Bali Maharaj had lost all bodily luster, but he was nonetheless fixed in his determination. Purport: when one is bereft of all his possessions, he is certainly reduced in bodily luster. For although Bali Maharaj had lost everything, he was fixed in his determination to satisfy Vamana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. O King of the demons, you have promised, this is the Lord Vamana speaking, O King of the demons, you have promised to give me 3 steps of land, but I have occupied the entire universe with 2 steps. Now think about where I should put my 3rd. As far as the sun and moon shine with the stars, and as far as the clouds pour rain, all the land throughout the universe is in your possession. This is the Lord again speaking to Bali Maharaj. Of these possessions, with 1 step I have occupied Borloka, and with my body I have occupied the entire sky in all directions, and in your presence, and with my 2nd step, I have occupied the upper planetary system. Because you have been unable to give charity according to your promise, the rule is that you should go down and live in the hellish planets. Therefore, in accordance with the order of Sukracharya, your spiritual master, who of course cursed Bali Maharaj to go to hell, Vamana says, now go down and live there. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada quotes, Narayana para sarve nakutaschana bibhyati svarga pavarga narakeshu apituliyarta darshina. Devotees solely engage in the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Narayan and never fear any condition of life. For them, the hellish planets, liberation. For them, excuse me, the heavenly planets, liberation, and the hellish planets are all the same. For such devotees are interested only in the service of the Lord. This is again Lord Vamana speaking. Far from being elevated to the heavenly planets or fulfilling one's desire, one who does not properly give a beggar what he has promised falls down to a hellish condition of life. Again, Lord Vamana is speaking. Being falsely proud of your possessions, you promised to give me land, but you could not fulfill your promise. Therefore, because your promise was false, you must live for a few years in hellish life. Shukadeva Goswami said, this is the next chapter in the Bhagavatam. Bali Maharaj surrenders his life. Shukadeva Goswami continued, O King, although the Supreme Personality of Godhead was superficially seen to have acted mischievously toward Bali Maharaj was fixed in his determination. Considering himself not to have fulfilled his promise, he spoke as follows. So you can imagine, Bali Maharaj was arrested with the ropes of Varuna, thrown in a cave, and now Bali Maharaj is speaking in reply to the Lord. Bali Maharaj said, O best personality of Godhead, most worshipful for all the demigods, if you think that my promise has become false, I shall certainly rectify matters to make it truthful. I cannot allow my promise to be false. Please therefore place your 3rd lotus footstep on my head. Shri Bali Maharaj ki jai. I do not fear being deprived of all my possessions, living in hellish life, being arrested for poverty by the ropes of Varuna, or being punished by you, as much as I fear defamation. I'll read the short purport there. Although Bali Maharaj fully surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he could not tolerate being defamed for cheating a Brahmana Brahmachari. Being quite alert in regard to his reputation, he thought deeply about how to prevent being defamed. The Lord therefore gave him the good counsel to prevent defamation by offering his head. A Vaishnava does not fear any punishment. Narayana pura sarve na kutaschana yibhyati, which we quoted earlier also. Bali Maharaj continued, although a father, mother, brother, or friend may sometimes punish one as a well-wisher, they never punish their subordinate like this. But because you are the most worshipful Lord, I regard the punishment you have given me as most exalted. Purport, punishment meted out by the Supreme Personality of Godhead is accepted by the devotee as the greatest mercy. Tate nukampam susamikshamano unjatma ivatma kritam vipakam ridvag vapurbir piridam namaste jiveti o mukta pade sadaya bhak. One who seeks your compassion and thus tolerates all kinds of adverse conditions due to the karma of his past deeds, who engages always in your devotional service with his mind, words, and body, and who always offers obeisances to you, is certainly a bona fide candidate for liberation. A devotee knows that so-called punishment by the Supreme Personality of Godhead is only his favor to correct his devotee and bring him to the right path. Therefore, the punishment awarded by the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot be compared to even the greatest benefit awarded by one's material father, mother, brother, or friend. Bali Maharaj continued, since your lordship is indirectly the greatest well-wisher of us demons, you act for our best welfare by posing as if our enemy. Because demons like us always aspire for the position of false prestige, by chastising us, you give us the eyes by which to see the right path. Purport, Bali Maharaj considered the Supreme Personality of Godhead a better friend to the demons than to the demigods. In the material world, the more one gets material possessions, the more he becomes blind to spiritual life. The demigods are devotees of the Lord for the sake of material possessions. But although the demons apparently do not have the Supreme Personality of Godhead on their side, he always acts as their well-wisher by depriving them of their possessions of false prestige. By false prestige, one is misguided, so the Supreme Lord takes away their position of false prestige as a special favor. Bali Maharaj continued, many demons who are continuously inimical toward you finally achieve the perfection of great mystic yogis. Your lordship can perform one work to serve many purposes, and consequently, although you have punished me in many ways, I do not feel ashamed of having been arrested by the ropes of Varuna, nor do I feel aggrieved. Bali Maharaj appreciated the Lord's mercy, not only upon him, but upon many other demons. Because this mercy is liberally distributed, the Supreme Lord is called all-merciful. Bali Maharaj was indeed a fully surrendered devotee, but even some demons who were not devotees, but merely enemies of the Lord, attained the same exalted position achieved by many mystic yogis. Thus Bali Maharaj could understand that the Lord had some hidden purpose in punishing him. Consequently, he was neither unhappy nor ashamed because of the awkward position in which he had been put by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is very instructive here. This process of accepting the apparent reversals in life as the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very, very, very important as devotees to imbibe. As difficult as it is during the particular circumstance, however difficult it may be, by seeing it, by doing one's best to see it as the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and in this way developing some tolerance, this tolerance, this patience, gives one insight. The Lord gives one insight to understand how, as it's mentioned here, Bali Maharaj, he knew the Supreme Lord must have some hidden purpose in punishing him. And always the Lord acts in such a way that whatever he takes away from the devotee is given back to him in spiritual opulence more than the devotee can ever expect. I'll give you an example in my own life. It was compared to, you know, to many other devotee examples, it's pretty insignificant, but I was living previously in Los Angeles, and although I was engaging in service, I was extremely frustrated in my devotional service, and feeling acutely that I was in a standstill in my devotional service. Although I was performing devotional activities, my taste for Krishna consciousness was very, very little, and I was in extreme anxiety. And this went on for a period of time, and I kept praying to Krishna that please give me more full engagement. So when I came to Vrindavan last year, just on a more or less a sightseeing trip, I came to stay here for just a short period of time. And as Srila Prabhupada said, just like the materialists do, just like dump their sinful activities and then go back to where they've come from. So I came here hoping to get a little purification, then go back to my more or less mundane life in the West. Somehow or other, Krishna offered me the opportunity for devotional service. And when it was offered, and Panchagoda Prabhu offered me to take up the management of the 24-hour kirtan party, I could immediately understand that it was somehow or other, it was a desire of Krishna and Radharani. And I became aware that Krishna was satisfying my desire, although I had no qualification for the position. Still, somehow or other, Krishna satisfied my prayer and my desire beyond what I had imagined. And so somehow or other, and I was taking counsel from different devotees as I was struggling in my Krishna consciousness before I came to Vrindavan, and especially my brother instructed me that don't think that you're not performing devotional service. That, you know, you are. You're worshiping your Shalagram Shila. You're doing devotional service. And Krishna somehow or other at some point will, you know, satisfy your prayer. So we'll read a little further in here also. And in the purport also, Srila Prabhupada mentions how Krishna always wants to test his devotee. Because as mentioned by the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, becoming a devotee is not a simple thing. In fact, it's said that until we come, when it comes to the platform of spontaneous devotional service, it's like, you know, we're practicing. Krishna doesn't really directly accept our devotional service. So although we, anyway, it's a long process. So Bali Maharaj continued. Actually, we'll go up to where Krishna now responds to Bali Maharaj. And we're skipping over the part. Actually, Prahlad Maharaj appears. And also Bali Maharaj, his wife, appears. And then Lord Brahma appears. And he says, Vamanadev, you know, he's surrendered. He's your devotee. And now you're, you know, binding him with the ropes of Varuna and throwing him in a cave. You should release him. This, of course, is the quality of devotees. Sometimes they are even more merciful than the Lord. So many pastimes in Chaitanya Charitamrita where it was the devotees of the Lord when the Lord refused to see King Prataparudra. It was the devotees that approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and begged him, you know, to see the king. And then the Lord says, Supreme Personality of God had said, my dear Lord Brahma, because of material opulence, a foolish person becomes dull-witted and mad. Thus he has no respect for anyone within the three worlds and defies even my authority. To such a person I show special favor by first taking away all his possessions. While rotating in the cycle of birth and death again and again, in different species because of his own furtive activities, the dependent living entity by good fortune may happen to become a human being. This human birth is very rarely obtained. This is Krishna himself talking about how rare it is to attain a human body and how detrimental material opulence is for a neophyte. The Lord continued, if a human being is born in an aristocratic family or higher status of life, if he performs wonderful activities, if he is youthful, if he has personal beauty, a good education, and good wealth, and if he is nonetheless not proud of his opulences, it is to be understood that he is especially favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is the other side of this. This pride, this false pride, this is the tipping scale. This is the determinant factor whether Krishna may take away everything from one or he may give one unlimited opulence. So this is, we should always carry this prayer to the Lord, with the Lord, when we pray that please release us from this false pride. This is the greatest detriment to our spiritual advancement. And by this false pride, it makes us become proud of any little insignificant thing we have. And the great benefit of the association of devotees is that by this association we can very quickly, if we associate properly, diminish this great burden, this great illusion of false pride. So the Prabhupada's purport, when in spite of possessing all these opulences, a person is not proud, this means that he is fully aware that all his opulences are due to the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He therefore engages all his possessions in the service of the Lord. A devotee knows very well that everything, even his body, belongs to the Supreme Lord. If one lives perfectly in such Krishna consciousness, it is to be understood that he is especially favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The conclusion is that one being deprived of his wealth is not to be considered the special mercy of the Lord. If one continues in his opulent position but does not become unnecessarily proud, falsely thinking that he is the proprietor of everything, this is the Lord's special mercy. So actually nothing belongs to us. That's the real point. And if we actually understand that in the core of our heart and see whatever we have as an asset to be used in Krishna's service, then this is proper renunciation, yukta vairagya. Although aristocratic birth, this is the Lord again speaking, still speaking. Although aristocratic birth and other such opulences are impediments to advancement in devotional service, because they are causes of false prestige and pride, these opulences never disturb a pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bali Maharaj has become the most famous among the demons and non-believers, for in spite of being bereft of all material opulences, he is fixed in his devotional service. Purport. A devotee is sometimes put into adversity while executing devotional service. In adversity, everyone laments and becomes aggrieved, but by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, a devotee, even in the worst condition, can understand he is going through a severe examination by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bali Maharaj passed all such examinations, as explained in the following verses. Although bereft of his riches, fallen from his original position, defeated and arrested by his enemies, rebuked and deserted by his relatives and friends, although suffering the pain of being bound, and although rebuked and cursed by his spiritual master, Bali Maharaj, being fixed in his vow, did not give up his truthfulness. It was certainly with pretension that I spoke about religious principles, but he did not give up religious principles, for he is true to his word. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Bali Maharaj passed the severe test put before him by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is further proof of the Lord's mercy toward his devotee. And listen to this next sentence by Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead sometimes puts a devotee to severe tests that are almost unbearable. The Supreme Personality of Godhead sometimes puts a devotee to severe tests that are almost unbearable. This is really, really important to understand. If we actually want to make spiritual advancement, Krishna is going to put us in situations that our false ego aren't going to like. And they're going to be difficult. But by tolerating the burning of the false ego, and tolerating the conditions, then that becomes our qualification for coming to the next stage of spiritual advancement. Because as Dinabandhu Prabhu so eloquently was saying yesterday, it's all about love. It's all about developing our unalloyed love for Krishna. And these impediments to that love, which for countless lifetimes we've accepted as our dear most friends, are actually our worst enemy. And so Krishna needs to put us in conditions sometimes that are almost unbearable. I remember a quote from the light of the Bhagavat, in where Srila Prabhupada's talking about how Krishna, sometimes there's drought, and it's such severe drought that people are put in such a suffering condition, they almost die. Srila Prabhupada says this is actually necessary, because once we start getting opulence, then immediately we forget. So this is the mercy of Krishna. And so this love is what allows us also to tolerate all the difficulties that we're put into. It's explained, I heard one devotee explain that the Acharyas had written that Prahlad Maharaj, when he was pushed off the cliff, he was actually holding his heart, and he was holding, in his mind, he was holding on to Paramatma. He wasn't thinking at all how he might, his body might get hurt on the rocks below, but he was worried that Krishna, within his heart, might get hurt on the rocks. So this is the love the devotee has for Krishna. And because of this love, as we become more and more advanced in this love, we start developing our spiritual, our eternal relationship with Krishna. And then Krishna gradually becomes our dearmost object. And then naturally we want to sacrifice everything for Krishna. And then just like the gopis were thinking, that they were worried that about Krishna hurting his soft feet in walking along the path and coming in touch with, you know, pebbles and things like that. So time is out. We'll stop here. Thanks very much for your kind attention. If anyone has any questions or comments. Jai Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.